Turks after Labor Day. We got a hell of a show for you guys. We got a ton of stories. I'm going to start light, then I'm going to get super heavy. And later in the program, DACA. We've got a ton of stuff on DACA for you guys, including Trump's overwhelming hypocrisy. We'll show that to you. Hillary Clinton's back. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. And her agitprop folks are back too, and on the attack, including us. They've attacked us. It just happened right before showtime. That'll be fun. I will absolutely shred them. I think you will enjoy that. Don't miss that part of the show. It's weird since I hear that I'm a Hillary Clinton shill. We'll see if that turns out to be the case later in the program. Okay, now I start with fun. Okay, no, not nursing their wounds. We'll get to him in a second. Pickup artist. No, not that one either. Yeah, you're seeing everything that's gonna happen soon though. Okay. So a lot of you know that President Trump screwed up his response to Hurricane Harvey down in Houston. First he went down there but didn't go anywhere near the storm. Even the very Republican governor of Texas said, well, you know, we didn't want the president didn't want to be anywhere near harm's way. Interesting. And then he said, no, I learned firsthand about what happened in Hurricane Harvey and put up a picture of a map that's not really firsthand. So he had to do a redo, go back down there and help folks and seem like he had any degree of empathy. So not a lot of people got all over him for that. But look, like, they're all photo ops. You know, I don't care that he had a bad photo op earlier. I don't care that he's going to have a good or goofy one, as you're about to see later. So I'm not as obsessed with the media as like, did Obama take the right picture during Superstorm Sandy? Did Bush take the wrong picture during Hurricane Katrina? What I care about is substance, and the substance here most overwhelmingly is climate change. That's why these things are happening. But having said all that, let's have a little bit of fun. So he goes down and he's gonna help. First, he's gonna have an OJ moment with the gloves that he's putting on before he hands out food. Let's watch.
My hands are too big. That for? Give it to them.
Have a good time, everybody. I'm going to be doing a little help over here.
Look, he just doesn't know how to do this because it's not in him. He doesn't have any empathy. First of all, nobody's having a good time, so stop saying that. Second of all, he took another pot shot at the media. Like, I don't, that war he has with the media is whatever. I don't care, right? But that's not why you're down there. But he can't help himself. Like the first time he went down and started talking about the crowd size, that's not what you're there for. But of course, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. So I guess I pardon him for that. The gloves, oh, my hands are too big. I don't have small hands. I don't have small hands. Okay. But that's not why we're doing this story. The next video is why we're doing this story. Okay. There's something called a pickup truck in America. It has a flatbed, that's where you place things. Apparently Donald Trump's never seen one, so we have this hilarious moment.
Hey, can you handle this? It's a lot of stuff.
Yes, sir.
Have a good time.
Thank you, man.
You can take a picture with you?
Yeah.
Thanks, you help, brother.
Thanks. Thank you, man. Right on the back. I'll put this back here for you.
All right.
Okay, you got it. Okay, fellas.
You're all set.
Thank you,
have a good time.
Take
care. Beautiful. All right. It's good exercise.
All right.
There's so many funny parts of that. First of all, it's not good exercise. No, that's, and again, not what you're there for. But of course, my favorite part is the guy going, no, it goes back there. It goes, yeah. And he said, oh, yeah, well, I'll put the rest back here. Of course you will. Where else would you put it in a pickup truck? I like how he hands it to the guy. The guy's like, okay. He's amazing. And again, all right, have a good time. It's not about a good time. A million people were displaced. 50 people died. Come on, man. But he can't help himself. Once a goofball, always a goofball. He just doesn't know how to be serious and cannot connect with other human beings. Oh, you need this life-saving food or supplies. All right, have a good time now, everybody. And remember, big hands. Okay. All right, that's it. I'm done with it. Now let's go to, unfortunately, more hurricanes. Just when you thought Hurricane Harvey was bad enough, here comes Hurricane Irma. It's almost as if we said that there might be a lot of severe storms. And when I say we, I mean our very easy reporting of what all of the world's scientists said. So Hurricane Harvey was a Category 4 when it first hit Texas. There was devastation. That is not Hurricane Harvey. Oh no, that's a new one. That's Hurricane Irma. And that is not a Category 4. Category 4 is very high. There's only one thing higher, and that's Category 5, and that is what Hurricane Irma is. So even bigger than Hurricane Harvey. And here comes this monster barreling down the Caribbean. It is going to hit Puerto Rico. It is going to hit Haiti. It is going to hit Cuba. And the Florida Keys is very likely, and they are worried about more extensive damage in Florida. But Puerto Rico is in a world of trouble. So people are already lining up to get food. They've already frozen the prices of all the essential goods, because sometimes people do unethical things like jacking up prices during disasters. Now Puerto Rico is already in an enormous financial mess because of the rules that we apply to Puerto Rico and Puerto Rico alone, which is deeply discriminatory and ridiculous. That needs to be reformed, but this Congress has not done so. The rules that are hamstringing Puerto Rico's economy do not apply to any state in America. It is just preposterous. So their governor says, despite the economic challenges Puerto Rico is facing, the approved budget has $15 million for emergency fund. Are you kidding me? Hurricane Harvey caused billions of dollars of damage. $6 billion has already been approved for about a month of spending to recover from Hurricane Harvey. They got $15 million for this storm. This is not going to go well. And Puerto Rico is going to get hit first and harder, apparently, than Florida. God help those people down there. To give you a sense of how dire the situation is, the US island territory, and by the way, yes, Trump voters, it is a United States island territory, home to about 3.4 million people, has only 556 emergency shelters prepared to house up to just 62,100 people. With over 3 million people in harm's way, I don't think shelters for 62,000 people is going to cut it. But Rick Scott in Florida, the governor of Florida, has already declared a state of emergency, saying that Trump will do all he can to help Florida. Whether he'll help Puerto Rico is a different story. God help you guys down there. Again, on that count, let me show you some of the shelves on supermarkets in Florida. Gone. Everybody's stacking up on essentials like water, canned goods, etc. Just when you think things couldn't get any worse, here comes Superstorm Jose. This is now the third storm, and it's following Hurricane Irma. It's now in the Atlantic. In fact, let me tell you about it. It's actually a tropical storm at this point. Tropical Storm Jose has formed in the open Atlantic, far from land. Jose is located to the east of Hurricane Irma, which is a powerful and dangerous storm heading towards Antigua and perhaps the United States. So I want to show you guys a video from Al Gore's presentation. It's video number 9. So he did an Inconvenient Truth. He told folks in that movie over a decade ago about how there's going to be flooding in major cities. Conservatives laughed. With Houston underwater, I don't think we're laughing anymore. He said there would be more storms and the storms would be more severe. But there was a sequel that just came out, an Inconvenient sequel. And along with that was a 10-minute presentation. You know what, we'll put a link down below for you guys, because it's just 10 minutes. I want you to watch it because it's amazing. It has all of the data, and a lot of this is in the longer movie as well. But I want you to watch this because he did not do this presentation after Hurricane Harvey. He did it before Hurricane Harvey. Look at how prescient it sounds. Watch.
As a result, all this heat's being trapped and the air temperature's going up quite dramatically. And this is causing record-breaking years. 16 of the 17 hottest years ever measured with instruments have been since 2001, and the hottest of all was last year. And of course, heat itself is a problem in many parts of the world, many parts of this country. But on a global basis, more than 90% of all this extra heat energy is going into the oceans, and they're heating up pretty rapidly. And this makes the ocean-based storms like hurricanes and typhoons and cyclones stronger and more destructive. And it also disrupts the water cycle because the water vapor coming off the oceans is increasing very significantly as the oceans warm. And that's carried over the land and falls in much bigger precipitation events, both rain and snow. So we get these record downpours, and that leads to record flooding.
Record flooding. This is not because Al Gore is a genius. I don't want him to take it the wrong way, but it's got nothing to do with that. All he did was listen to the scientists, and almost all the scientists say this is exactly what's going to happen. Climate change is not something that's going to happen later, 20 years from now or 100 years from now. We're in the middle of it right now. Hurricane Harvey flooded Houston, over a million people displaced in the United States of America, over 50 lives lost. And now here comes Hurricane Irma, and right behind it, Tropical Storm Jose. More storms, bigger storms, worse flooding, more precipitation, more severe. This is exactly what climate change looks like. Okay, but yet our politicians will do nothing. And our idiot media will say, oh, look at that, it's just a hurricane. Nobody could have predicted it except for all of the scientists who predicted exactly what would happen. Okay, now let me go on to other idiots. So recently we gave you the story of a nurse who would not let a police officer take the blood of someone who was unconscious and in her care. Now this was a Salt Lake City based nurse, Alex Wubbles, and a police officer had come in and demanded to get a blood sample from the person who was knocked out. Now look, let me give you some context on that, that's very important. She's right by law, as we're going to get into in a second here. He did not have the guy's consent because he's passed out, and he was not wanted in any kind of crime. There was no warrant, there was no need for a warrant because he was a victim. So what had happened was there was a high speed chase. The person who's in the hospital was not involved in the high speed chase. The guy that the cops were chasing crashed into the truck driver who's in the hospital. The guy who was doing the high speed chase dead. Now it turns out the cops are not supposed to do that high speed chase, so they might have some responsibility. So conveniently they send an officer down to get the blood of the innocent truck driver. Now God forbid he smoked marijuana or anything else 40 days ago, that might show up in his blood. And then they go, well, I mean, are the cops responsible? I don't know. Look at the truck driver who appeared to be innocent, but there's something in his blood. So he didn't give consent to that, and you don't have a right to rob of the guy of his blood or his consent or anything along those lines. So the nurse actually stood up for her patient exactly like she was supposed to, and now the police department has actually apologized and said that their actions were absolutely unacceptable. I want to show you a small snippet from that video before I tell you conservative reaction to this, which is in some ways, of course, predictable, but gruesome and ridiculous anyway. So here's what happened at the tail end of that confrontation.
Okay. Oh, please.
No, we're done. No, we're done. Sir. You're arrested.
Hey.
We're done.
Sir, I had a
Pain.
Yeah, it is indeed crazy, but you know, we should have done this, but we didn't. I should know better, but a very fine Pope hat on Twitter was prescient enough to write this tweet at the time. Is it time for the first hot take on how the cop was right to arrest the nurse? Breitbart, Federalist, Daily Caller? Man, he nailed it. And here comes the Dailer to step up to the plate and run by Tucker Carlson. And they have a hot take on it, and here's the headline. arrested Utah nurse had it coming. Who watches that video? What kind of a monster watches that video and goes, ha ha, finally, that nurse got it, what she had coming to her, trying to protect her patient and being right about the law? And by the way, the police department had also agreed to the provisions that she was quoting just a year ago. It's not just that she was right on the Constitution and the law, but that same police department had agreed to those terms. Okay, so no. Somehow the cops always got to be right, no matter what goes wrong, right? So Greg Ree at the Daily Caller, who wrote this piece, says the case is much closer one than it appears. Now, that already shows you that they're dead wrong, because there's no conservative America, let alone the one that writes for the Daily Caller, who's right and it says it's a close case. If they're anywhere near right, they're like, oh, we're definitely right, you snowflakes, right? This one's close. This one's close. And it's closer than it appears. Oh, go. All right, so let's go to the substance here. He says, after a hospital administrator tells Payne, the officer there, he's making a quote mistake by insisting he has the right to obtain the blood, Payne arrests the nurse who howls her way outside of the building and proceeds to put the salt in Salt Lake City. Okay, if that's how you want to roll, and I'm sure that the vicious people who read the Daily Caller are like, yeah, we made her howl. Good job, cop. Way to do that to that poor woman nurse. I mean, she had it coming. I wonder if it was a prerequisite for Greg Ree, who was writing this piece, to foam at the mouth while typing. Okay. He goes on to say, police simply do not need a warrant if exigent circumstances justify an urgent search and seizure of evidence. The imminent loss of blood evidence, which would be useful in a drunk driving case, qualifies as a potentially exigent circumstance. Now, look, everybody knows that there's this exception for exigent circumstances. And then he goes on to patronize everybody about writing elaborately about a story about if somebody runs into your house with drugs, the cops can chase them in before they flush the drugs down. Hey, genius, we all know that. The question is, are you chasing someone that you have probable cause to believe did something? For example, in your example, the cops saw him selling drugs, carrying the drugs and bringing it into the house. In this case, we have a totally innocent victim who was run into and had nothing to do with the crash. Okay, so it is not an exigent circumstance. They're not chasing anyone down. So your analogy doesn't hold at all here. Let me go to Mediaite, which explains, however, there is a glaring mistake in the conservative tabloid's post. Wobbles cited a hospital policy for not handing over the blood sample, as the patient in question was not under arrest. The police had no warrant and the patient did not consent. This policy falls in line with search and seizure limitations covered under the Fourth Amendment. And while there are exceptions to search and seizure laws, they require probable cause. Neither of these are the case in Wobble's situation, as her patient was not accused of being the culprit of a crime. So absolutely wrong on the law, wrong on the Constitution, wrong in every way. But that's not why they wrote the piece. They wrote the piece so they can say, cops are always right. And if you stand in their way, they'll crush you. Yes, you're an innocent nurse protecting your patients. You had it coming. Now, they don't write that because their audience doesn't like it. You and I look at it with disgust and disdain, and most Americans do. But the Daily Caller audience thinks, yes, finally someone stood up to those nurses and made them pay. This is the kind of vicious and, yes, deplorable conservative base online that reads this crap. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks. Mike writes in, did he really say my hands are too big? Cue my ugly hyena laughter. Jay writes in, this is what a Billy Madison presidency looks like. Joseph S. says on a serious topic, so wait, there's a third storm? Man, the Trump administration is so extreme it's drowned out the news that there's a third storm. And yes, that is unfortunately true. And then Michael Malnikoff writes, every time I see Tucker Carlson's face, I get acid reflux. Okay, should we give Michael a t-shirt for Tucker Carlson? Sure, fine, Michael, you get a t-shirt. Everybody else, go to shoptyt.com, we got great merch there. Okay, and before we go on, let me just point out, speaking of the storms, one thing I did not get to in that last segment. Hurricane Irma is now up to 180 miles per hour and the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Basin. Okay, by the way, I was planning to go to Miami in about 10 days. And you know what, I've told you guys this 100 times in the post games. I go to South Beach as often as I can while it still exists. And it turns out I might have missed it by 10 days. So we'll see how it goes in 2-2-2-2. I hope everyone over there is fine. I hope the good people in Puerto Rico are okay. But right now it doesn't look good. All right, now speaking of not looking good, we're going to do DACA in the next segment. Let me do Hillary Clinton right now, okay? Okay. Hillary Clinton has a new book out. I think it has a hilarious title. What happened? That's the title. I wouldn't have labeled it that, but okay. So, well, what's in? What happened? Just got to be the reaction of her entire team when she lost. It was honestly our reaction, like, Jesus, Lord mercy, what have you done to us? But it turns out, you're going to be shocked to find out, Hillary Clinton doesn't think it was her fault. She thinks it was Bernie Sanders' fault. Oh, for Christ's sake. All right, so first, let's start nice and easy. Actually, little conciliatory stuff in there. Mediaite's reporting this for Joseph Wilson taking some portions of the book out. It hasn't come out yet, so they take pictures of these passages and put them out. She says Sanders was right. The Democrats needed to strengthen their focus on working families. And she gave him credit for, quote, engaging a lot of young people in the political process. But he was, quote, fundamentally wrong about the Democratic Party. Well, I like that she's giving him a little bit of credit for at least caring about policies. But I think that the second part is unwittingly honest. He was fundamentally wrong about the Democratic Party in some ways. They were not yet ready for the kind of reform that he was proposing. And by the Democratic Party, I don't mean voters. I think she won on name recognition alone in the primaries. She had an enormous record-breaking lead in name recognition. As we found out with Donald Trump, name recognition is kind of important in politics. But the Democratic Party establishment was not ready for Bernie Sanders. They did not want real change, and they fought as hard as they possibly could to prevent real change and real progressive priorities. But again, of course, Secretary Clinton didn't see it that way. She writes, because we agreed on so much, Bernie couldn't make an argument against me in this area on policy. So he had to resort to innuendo and impugning my character. When I finally challenged Bernie during a debate to name a single time I changed a position or a vote because of a financial contribution, he couldn't come up with anything. Nonetheless, his attacks caused lasting damage, making it harder to unify progressives in the general election and paving the way for Trump's crooked Hillary campaign. In other words, blaming Bernie Sanders for Trump's crooked Hillary campaign. He didn't run that campaign. He actually had every opportunity in the world to run that campaign, and he refused to do it because he didn't want to impugn your character, which was a terrible political mistake. He should have. So I'm going to show you a guy in a second who did impugn Hillary's character and it worked. And it might not be who you think it is. But I had Bernie Sanders on this program in the middle of the primaries. And I asked him that same question that she's referring to there. I said, why won't you name the things that she switched positions on because of the money that she received? For example, the bankruptcy bill. She was in favor of the little guy before and against the banks when she was not a senator, when she was advising her husband Bill Clinton. Then she got a ton of money from the financial industry, from the banks, and switched her vote. And then when she was a senator, she was like, oh yeah, bankruptcy. We should crush those little guys. Why won't you name it? And he's like, he said on this program, he said, that's not the kind of campaign I want to run. I'm aware of those votes, but I don't want to mention them in the debates. Oh, it was the wrong strategy. You see, the reason you should mention it, it's not just to be to impugn her character, and it isn't personal. They've never understood that. I don't know Hillary Clinton. And I have no idea what's in her heart, the absurd things that pundits say on TV. All I know is what's in her record. And the system that she believes in is one that is systemically corrupt. So when she takes that money, as with almost all of the other politicians, of course she bends to the will of her donors. And in that case, it was provable. And you had to make that case so you could win. Now, who did impugn her character and actually beat her in a Democratic primary? This guy did.
Senator Clinton, this is the same person who has taken more money from lobbyists than any other candidate, Democratic or Republican, taking more money from drug company lobbyists and insurance company lobbyists, and she's saying, I'm out of touch. Who do you think is out of touch?
When if Bernie Sanders went 1% in that direction, they're like, sexist, racist, how dare you? Most black people are voting for Hillary Clinton in the South in the beginning because they haven't heard of Bernie Sanders, so you must be a racist. Well, how about when Obama did it? When Obama did it 100 times more. Well, anyways. Now we've turned around and like, oh, Obama's a god. Obama's fine. Okay, wait. You think that's the only clip? There's dozens of those clips, maybe hundreds of those clips. Here, I'll give you another one from that same speech.
This is the same person who spent a decade with her husband campaigning for NAFTA and now goes around saying how she was opposed to NAFTA. Does that sound like she's in touch with Pennsylvania?
No.
Does that sound like she's in touch with you?
No.
This is the same person who says she's voting for the Columbia trade deal. Turns out that her top advisor, her top strategist, was working for the Colombian government to get the bill passed. Does that sound like she's in touch with you?
Bernie didn't do 1% of that, and he should have. Obama was right about that. He was laughing at her. He was mocking her. But now they turn around and say, Bernie went too far. No, he didn't go nearly far enough. You know, they love to deny science and facts in the Democratic establishment. It's another way that they're closeted Republicans. Well, the polls had Bernie Sanders up by 12 points on Election Day against Donald Trump. He would have won. He should have run a tougher campaign against Hillary Clinton so that we wouldn't have this monster Trump in office. And they think that they're so sophisticated. Do you know that they would have run a campaign and Bernie's positives would have come down a little bit? Yeah, knuckleheads, we know that. And the reality is she was way more unpopular than Bernie Sanders in the country overall. And when we had open primaries where independents could vote, non-Democratic base voters and likely voters, and only the establishment, etc., can vote, Bernie would win. Bernie would do in Michigan, he did 20 points better than the polls. Who cares? We're going to win Michigan anyway. Oops, you didn't win Michigan, did you? It was all your fault, not his fault. All right, this is so obvious, but I'm going to ask you in a poll in a second. But let me continue. She went on to say in the book, but he isn't a Democrat. That's not a smear, that's what he says. He didn't get into the race to make sure a Democrat won the White House. He got in to disrupt the Democratic Party. Are you kidding me? I mean, if by the Democratic Party you mean me and my systemically corrupted cronies in the Democratic establishment, then you are right. Because he doesn't want to keep giving money to the people who are their donors and get into power and then just funnel all the money to them. And in the meanwhile, the consultants take 15% and all your friends in Washington take and skim off the top and you get the money for the donations. The Clintons together have gotten over $3 billion for campaign donations, money in their pocket and foundation money. Oh, but $3 billion, people gave it to us out of our health. Yes, he wanted to disrupt that system. Did he want to disrupt the Democratic Party so that they couldn't win? Are you insane? You say he's way to the left of you. You say he's more progressive than you. So why would he want to disrupt progressives from winning? You're the one who's disrupting progressives from winning, by the way, by not winning. It's amazing how they turn reality on its head. So I'm going to ask you guys a real simple poll question. Hillary Clinton lost the general election because of A, Bernie Sanders, B, Hillary Clinton. Ooh, hey man, go out there and vote, tytnetwork.com/lost. You never know. Hillary's supporters tell me that she has an enormous base of support. Maybe she'll win the poll. Maybe people think she lost because of Bernie Sanders and not because of her. They'll say, oh, that poll's not fair. Obviously, she lost because of her. Exactly. One last quote from the book. I'm proud to be a Democrat, and I wish Bernie were too.
Ugh. Okay. So I'm not an author. I'm not a publisher. I'm not a marketing strategist. But who is this book being sold to? Of course, Hillary supporters. Because she goes all over the place. She was talking about the general election against Trump, and also obviously now the primary. Where are people supposed to read this and then feel good? Who supported her during the general election supposed to read it and say, oh, that's right, I feel better about this? Or is it just strictly about selling books? Because obviously people who liked what she did, disliked the whole setup of the whole campaign, are going to look into it and read it. But is that the whole end game? Is this it now? That's all?
No, Jared, there's only two possibilities, a couple of possibilities. So first off, is it to make more money? Of course.
Yes.
Her last name is Clinton. It's never enough, never enough. Look, if I lost to Donald Trump, there's an excellent chance there's only two possibilities. One, I'd be in the streets, and I mean, I'd be scaling the gate of the White House like, we gotta get this guy out. I'm so sorry that I lost to him, but we gotta get this guy out, right? Or I'd be hiding in a cave, right? But I wouldn't be writing a book about how I should have won and I could have won, and it was Russia and Bernie Sanders.
Whose idea was this?
No, it's one, possibly to make money. Two, they can't help themselves. They just, we were right. We were right. It's everybody else's fault. Just please go ahead and piss off already, okay? And number three, yeah, a lot of the fucking Washington dudes will buy this book and be like, oh, bravo. Bravo, I do declare it was Bernie Sanders' fault, just as we've been saying on TV all along. Oh, fuck TV, Jesus Christ, right? And the next story is gonna show you how insane they are, because it's related to this. Okay, so let me go to that. Okay. okay, here we go. Hillary Clinton supporters have started a new platform called Verit. No, guys, that's not right. It's Vermin. Oh, that's definitely not right. Look that up in Urban Dictionary. No, come on, guys, come on. Let me see, go ahead. Verit, no, come on, that's not even that clever. Come on, give me. There we go, okay, Verit prop. Okay, what, we're giving them credit, we're giving them props. So it is run by Peter Dow, and it is now endorsed by Hillary Clinton. And what is it? So first, Hillary endorsed it a couple of days ago. She said, I'm excited to sign up for Verit, a media platform for the 65.8 million. Will you join me and sign up too? Well, if that's a literal question, I've got an answer for you. And a lot of people do. I love this, 65.8 million. First of all, do you know that 20% of her own voters now say, never liked her in the first place. What was I supposed to do? Donald Trump was the other candidate. Okay, so let's knock off at least 13 million off that total right now. And just because they voted when there was only two selections in reality, in practical terms, does not mean they love her. It means, you give me these two people, what am I gonna do? I guess I gotta vote for her. But anyway, it doesn't matter, so she supports it. It apparently was around for months, but nobody noticed, it was so sad. What happened? I thought you represented 65.8 million people, Verit. Anyway, so now that the people noticed, Peter Down, who started the website, starts putting out all these tweets. It's like, yes, finally someone noticed us. And it's only because we got the Clintons to shine their spotlight on, and that's the only thing they ever have anyway, is name recognition. Okay, so Down writes, thread, exciting news. Hillary Clinton endorses Verit, very surprising since all they do is fluffer. The media platform we're building for the 65.8 million, okay. Then he goes on to say, Lila Dow and I founded Verit because Hillary Clinton voters, an inspiringly diverse coalition, are unrepresented in the media. Whoa, okay, immediately, second tweet, are you kidding me? 80% of the people on TV are Hillary Clinton voters, and Hillary Clinton supporters, and bashed Bernie Sanders more than they bashed Donald Trump. What TV are you watching? What establishment media? Are you talking about the Washington Post that wrote 16 negative articles about Bernie Sanders in 24 hours? Is that the media that doesn't have Hillary Clinton representatives? Who the hell do you think is on TV? It's a wall. You can't, you barely, there's like 1.5 Bernie Sanders supporters on television. And then you got the Jeffrey Lures and a couple of kooks that you have supporting Trump. Everyone else is a Hillary Clinton supporter. But they're like, oh no, we're the victims. The media just won't support Hillary Clinton. That's the only reason she won the primary. It's because the media and television was obsessed with Hillary Clinton. Oh, it's a Clinton, it's a Clinton. Oh, Bernie Sanders, socialist. Why, tell us why you won't be just like Venezuela or Cuba right now, okay? Every single debate moderator was a Hillary Clinton supporter. Name me one moderator that you think had a snowball's chance in hell of voting for Bernie Sanders. None of them. These people live in an alternate reality where they, establishment Democrats, we just can't find them in the media. Preposterous. Okay, number three. Verity is necessary because we need to talk about how misogyny, sexism, and racism plague our politics and impact our elections. Now look, if you're talking about Donald Trump and those guys, sure, fair enough. And in fact, the one comment of Hillary Clinton's I supported was when she said half of them are deplorable. They are, and there was no reason to back down from that comment. But he's not just talking about that. In fact, right before the show, here, let's go to graph 51 now, Jesus. We made a graphic about this just before we got started because it came to my attention. He's of course talking about the left as well. Because if you've been fighting racism and sexism for your entire life and you're impractically in favor of African Americans and women and their rights in a way that they consider unrealistic, somehow you're more racist than sexist. Okay, Dow tweeted apparently, to expand on my Chapo tweet, people like them and TYT make a living echoing anti-Hillary themes that marginalize women and people of color, harm us all. Okay, Pete, what am I? I don't know, I think the right wing think I'm enormously brown. I know your family is originally from the Middle East, so is mine. Except yours was Christian, mine was Muslim. You want to keep playing this game? This is stupid identity politics. Trust me that someone who was born into a Muslim family with the name Cenk Uygur is not considered part of the white establishment. But on the other hand, our second biggest host is Anna Kasparian, who of course is sexist. No. God, you people are disgusting. You use racism and sexism, which is absolutely real from the right wing, as a shield from people who are more progressive than you. And you use it as a spear to attack people. You can't say anything about Hillary Clinton. You're a sexist if you do. Some African Americans voted for it. Well, right now, Bernie Sanders is polling at above 80% with African Americans. He's not only the most popular politician in the country, he's the most popular politician for African Americans. You keep attacking Bernie Sanders day in and day out. I guess you must be a racist. Hey, JR, are they racist? Because I think they must be racist. Did you? I bet you better not have criticized JR. Because if you disagree with a word JR says, you're a racist. You disagree with a word I say, you're a bigot. Okay? Hey, anybody can play this game. And I actually don't think Peter Dow or Hillary Clinton are bigots or racist or sexist. We don't have to make up stuff about them. Their record stands on its own. First of all, they lost to Donald Trump. Why are you still in our lives? Go hide in a cave where you belong. Okay. Second of all, your record of selling out to your donors is crystal clear. We don't have to make up things about you. Third of all, make up your mind. Are we too liberal or are we racist and sexist? Which one is it? Oh, and so the only other possibility is that you're going to agree with Trump. Oh, the most liberal people in the country are actually the racist and the sexist. Go ahead, say it, Pete. Say it, Hillary Clinton. You want to say it? You want to agree with Donald Trump? These people are monsters. Okay, I'm not anywhere near done. Here comes, by the way, I had all this ready. The attack on TYT amuses me. It's nothing. Okay, so nice preemptive strike. Let's see if that helps you. Anyway, number four, Verit is necessary because if you're, quote, still with her, Jesus, God help you, you endure constant harassment and bullying from the radical right and the fringe left. Wait. Is there nobody representing media, Hillary Clinton in the media? Or anybody opposed to her is the fringe left? Which one is it? or has the fringe left somehow taken over all of the mainstream media? You see this? They're a victim for everything. Oh, nobody will stand up for Hillary. But Hillary represents everybody, and everybody else on the left is the fringe. Fringe losers should never be allowed in the media. Which one is it, Pete? Which one is it? You don't care. Boo hoo, I fucked up the election. Cry for me. I'm going to blame him and him and Russia and Bernie and somebody else and TYT and somebody, Chapo, whatever. And Charlie Chaplin. It's not our fault. It is your fault. You ran the election. You lost it. You put Donald Trump into office. Okay. Favorability poll, because I hear that everybody else is fringe. And everybody and the country loves Hillary Clinton. 65.8 million people voted for her. Right now, this is actually in July, Bloomberg Politics, the latest poll we have. Hillary Clinton, 39% favorability. Donald Trump, 41%. She's below Donald Trump. How could any politician in the country be below Donald Trump? 39%. Oh, what's Bernie Sanders? Over 60% in every poll. Number one most popular politician in the country. The one you said couldn't beat Donald Trump. The one you said shouldn't run. Still with her. Is she going to run again? Oh, come on. Make that mistake. Make that mistake. Come on. Run again. That'd be awesome. And have Pete run your campaign. It'll work out great. In fact, hire every single Washington establishment sellout that was on your previous campaign. They're a bunch of geniuses. Please, please hire them again and run again. Make our day. Number six, Verit is necessary because future generations deserve to know the facts about how we got here, or the same injustices will be repeated. What injustice? Everything's, I mean, look, they make right-wing propaganda and stereotypes look true. These are special snowflakes. You had how many billions of dollars to run this election? You had more name recognition than anyone in the world, and you still lost. You had the entire Democratic establishment behind you, and you still lost. You had every advantage there was, and you still lost. And now you're sitting here crying about injustices. You helped the DNC. Look, we don't have to get into rigging of the elections, but did they tip the balance through the debates, through closing down poll stations, etc., in every way imaginable? I mean, just read the emails. Did they help make sure that Hillary Clinton won the primaries? Yes. And then you have the nerve to talk about injustices and Donna Brazile leaking questions to you guys, but there's no Hillary supporters in the media. And oh my God, all we had was injustices. Number seven, Verit is our way of declaring independence, repudiating false narratives, and telling our own story. Oh, finally, somebody telling Hillary's story. Eight, our plan, daily rigorously verified info and analysis, weekly Dow podcast this fall, can't wait. Premium version, oh, that's awesome. And Verit TV on YouTube. Well, look, you guys have 65.8 million people, right? So I'm sure you'll zoom right past TYT. I mean, you're crying about TYT every single day. Don't worry, our 11 million subscribers, I'm sure you'll pass it just like that. Our 7 billion views online, it's not a problem for you guys. You've got all these wonderful people who voted for you. She's so popular. Premium version, I'm sure people can't wait to pay for what you got. Good luck with that business model, see how that turns out. All right, number nine says, growing Verit won't be simple, but with your help, we're confident it can be done. Join us and spread the word. I know all those people clamoring like, oh, if the establishment could just get back in charge, everything would be all right. Where do I donate? You want to compete online? Welcome to the jungle, okay? Can't wait to have you. All right, so people went on and said, okay, so what has Verit published? Because they've been around for months. I'll give them credit. Here's a fact I didn't know. Mosquitoes are responsible for more human deaths than any other animal on Earth, including other humans. That's a fascinating fact. Am I not merciful? I just pointed that out as a kudo to Verit. Then, I don't know if you guys saw this quote from Donald Trump. It's so funny. Covfefe. They found out that Trump said that. Wow. Groundbreaking. A couple of months late. Okay. And then they have quotes from Hillary Clinton. Wait, I thought this was supposed to be about verifiable facts. That's why it's Verit. They have like authentication codes, so you know it's not fake news. So here's a quote. What are they so afraid of? Me, to some extent? Because I don't die despite their best efforts. Hillary Clinton on her detractors. I hope, oh, good, they have an authentication code. That's a real quote. That fact is really going to help people in America. God, man, this whole enterprise, why don't they just sing Better Man and just be done with it? Okay, here's one more. Bernie Sanders and the mainstream media helped put Trump in the White House. We're running a poll, by the way, on whether Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders is responsible for Hillary Clinton's loss. Okay, tytnetwork.com/loss. It's a great mystery. Nobody's figured it out. I hope there's an authentication code for our poll once it comes out. The results come out. The ball's on this tweet. In Wisconsin and other key swing states, Hillary Clinton won the majority of voters who said the economy was their top concern. Oh, please have the decency to shut up. You lost Wisconsin, and you said that Wisconsin was unlosable. You said it was part of your blue wall. And that the White Walkers would never get past it, and they did. And now you're talking about, well, I mean, on some of the polling issues in Wisconsin, we won. But you didn't win the actual vote in Wisconsin. That's why we have a monster in office. Please have the decency to shut the fuck up about it. Oh, but did you know that some of the people in Wisconsin actually like this? Yes, not enough of them. Okay, here's another one. So now people start to make fun of the authentication code and the so-called facts. So you get this one. They quote, very quoted Joy Reid. I didn't see that coming. Okay, and then Enrique writes in, is this a fact verified by who? Is the whole point of this site to retweet random lib pundits? Okay, and Joy Reid, it turns out, supports Hillary Clinton. Boy, that is a surprise to me. All right, here's another one. They show, this checks out. I ran this through Ferret and got my Dow authentication code, and it was a quote from this gentleman, Virgil Texas. It cannot be overstated what a gigantic fuck up Clinton's campaign was. It may have been the biggest self-own in US electoral history. Okay, but no, they have an authentication code, so it must be true. And then at the very end, after all this attention, the website can't handle the amount of people that came. Hey, God bless their hearts. So of course, what is this? It's a crime, it's an injustice. The Russians slash Bernie Sanders did it. So Dow tweets, once again, we've confirmed a denial of service attack on Verit after Hillary Clinton endorsed the platform. We'll get it back up ASAP, thanks. Now, I don't know if it was an actual DDoS attack or just they have a crappy website. They didn't expect more than 11 people to ever show up. And he, of course, has no proof of it, but he's like, it's a highly sophisticated attack by the racist sexists on the left who are aligned with the people on the right. And that's why Hillary lost. It's verified, it's got an authentication code. Okay, this is one of the saddest things I've ever seen. Luckily, this will be among the last times you hear about it, unless the idiot pundits on TV keep hyping it up, because it will have no actual viewers or readers. If they do a premium service, no one will partake in it. It will be an absolute disaster. You can quote me now. And hey, look, good luck. And if you're right, and everybody loves you, and everybody loves Hillary Clinton, and everybody's still with her, we'll find out soon enough. I wouldn't bank on it. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks. I will read tweets a little bit later in the program because we're disastrously banned. Let's do DACA. All right. This morning, the Trump administration killed a dream. Let's watch.
The program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. The executive branch, through DACA, deliberately sought to achieve what the legislative branch specifically refused to authorize on multiple occasions. Such an open-ended circumvention of immigration laws was an unconstitutional exercise of authority by the executive branch.
So if you're not familiar with it, DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It is the people who partake in it are called dreamers because they're living the American dream. They were brought here when they were young children, all brought before they were adults, so they could not commit a volitional act. to enter the country. They didn't do anything wrong, and most of them have spent all their lives here. Some of them don't even know any other language, let alone any other home. So let me give you details on how they killed that dream. In a phone call with reporters Tuesday morning, a Department of Homeland Security official said on background that current DACA beneficiaries whose permits expired before March 5th of 2018 would be eligible to reapply for an extra 2 years of protected status. However, that means hundreds of thousands of people whose permits expire after March 5th would be eligible for deportation as early as the next day, ABC News first reported. So some people get a 6 month reprieve, or for 6 months they can still get a reprieve for up to 2 years. But anyone who is not renewed by that time can be kicked out immediately. Hundreds of thousands of DACA recipients with permits expiring after that date, however, could soon see the information they gave the government as part of the program's application used to deport them. So when Obama said, hey, if you register, we're not going to deport you, Trump says, just kidding, we're going to use that information to deport you. Oh, it's a gross violation of trust. And it's disastrous in many ways, as I'll explain here. Okay, the official claimed the Department of Homeland Security will not take action to remove active DACA beneficiaries. The transfer of information from USCIS to ICE, that's the custom officials and immigration officials, would only take place where there is a significant law enforcement or national security interest. That is, of course, not true. This is exactly what Trump said about, when I get in office, I'm going to prioritize kicking out the criminals first, and we are not going to go after non-criminal undocumented immigrants. And then they went after them. Blatant violation of what he had said earlier. Of course, he's a pathological liar, does it every time. And as Talking Points Memo explains here, and the acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Thomas Homan, said in late July that deportations of non-criminal documented immigrants had in fact gone from zero to 100 under Trump's watch. So when he said that they wouldn't go after them, it was just not true. He's not telling the truth today. So if you were part of the protection of DACA, you unfortunately, a big group of you will no longer have that protection at all. I'm going to tell you how devastating that is in a second for how many people are involved. First of all, there's 800,000 people at a minimum that could be affected. I'll give you one haunting fact that we mentioned on the show last week. 16% of them own houses. If you got rid of all of them, all of a sudden you'd have ghost towns in so many places in America. Gigantic amount, hundreds of thousands of homes would be empty, let alone the cars. It's something out of a horror movie. Or maybe this is their version of, you're gone and the good people stay. I don't know. They're horrible people. Okay, Jeff Sessions said, ending the previous administration's disrespect for the legislative process is an important first step. Now, what they're referring to is, hey, Obama did an executive order on DACA. Obama's about to explain that in a second. But keep in mind that among the very first things that Donald Trump did was an executive order on immigration. In his case, it was to ban Muslims from certain countries. What happened? I thought executive orders on immigration were unacceptable and unconstitutional. No. When it's filled with hate, it's totally constitutional. When you're actually trying to protect people living the American dream, almost all of whom have gone to high school and then college or the military, and almost all of whom are employed and productive members of society, that's filled with love, so that's unconstitutional. If you fill an executive order with fear and hatred, that's constitutional. That's a great legal principle to go on. Okay, so Obama explains why it happened the way that it did, because he wrote about it today. And you know, they say, oh, ex-presidents aren't supposed to talk about what the current president is doing. Are there any rules left? Are you insane? Donald Trump's been attacking Obama nonstop. So it's all his fault, he was a loser president. Okay, so Obama did a gentlemanly post on Facebook, wow. Anyway, here's what he explained in regards to why it was an executive order. He said, and for years while I was president, I asked Congress to send me such a bill. Referring to a bill that would actually codify DACA. He said that bill never came, and because it made no sense to expel talented, driven, patriotic young people from the only country they know solely because of the actions of their parents, my administration acted to lift the shadow of deportation from these young people so that they could continue to contribute to our communities and our country. We did so based on the well-established legal principle of prosecutorial discretion deployed by the Democratic and Republican presidents alike, because our immigration enforcement agencies have limited resources, and it makes sense to focus those resources on those who come illegally to this country to do us harm. And then he went on to explain how he broke the record on deportations of criminal undocumented immigrants. But this was all not good enough for Donald Trump. He said, but we must also, Trump did, we must also recognize that we're a nation of opportunity because we are a nation of laws. Now that's funny because they're going to talk about rule of law a lot. I thought that he just pardoned Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who refused to listen to the rule of law. Sheriff Joe didn't just break any old crime where an immediate pardon like the one that Trump did would have been questionable to begin with. But no, the crime that Joe Arpaio committed was one of ignoring the rule of law altogether. A court gave him an order and he said, I don't care about the law, I don't care about the courts, I'm just not going to follow the law. Back then, Trump didn't care about the rule of law at all, back then, as in like a week ago. Now, and that guy's of course went after one of his original crime, Arpaio's, was that he would illegally detain Latinos when it was not his jurisdiction, and he was targeting not criminals on probable cause, but just Latinos. So if you hate Latinos and you're racist, then we don't need the rule of law. But if you like Latinos or immigrants and you find productive members of society who are Latino, who cares? Kick them out. All of a sudden we care about the rule of law. Gigantic hypocrites. Trump said there can be no path to principled immigration reform if the executive branch is able to rewrite or nullify federal laws at will. Like your executive order on the Muslim ban, like your rewriting the law on Sheriff Joe Arpaio. But when it comes to racism and bigotry, you love it and you hate the rule of law and don't care about the law at all, just at least have the decency to admit it. Of course he won't. Now we go to Huckabee Sanders, who is going to be shilling for this law and again for this action, and speaking once again unbearably about the rule of law. Watch.
You know, there's a lot of people that I've seen attacking the president for not showing the level of compassion that they feel like he should. It's not cold-hearted for the president to uphold the law. We are a nation of law and order. And the day that we start to ignore the fact that we are that, then we throw away everything that gives these people a reason to want to come to our country. If we stop becoming the country that we were envisioned to be, then we throw away what makes us special, which makes America unique. This president's not willing to do that. The previous administration was. This one isn't. But we want to have real solutions. We want to have laws that address these problems. But it's Congress's job to legislate, not the president's.
Well, somebody, for Christ's sake, ask her about Joe Arpaio. It just happened. She's like, well, man, no, they wouldn't even want to come to this country. If, for example, a court gave an order and then the president decided he was a dictator and ripped it up, and said, no, as long as you hate Latinos, you don't have to follow the court order at all. You don't have to follow the law at all. The law doesn't mean anything. As long as you hate Latinos, somebody ask her the goddamn question. They don't care about the rule of law at all. How about the law that says the president cannot get enriched by foreign governments while he's in office? Trump is getting enriched today through his hotels, through his properties, through the gifts that he's getting. How about that law? No, but the president would like to get rich, so he doesn't care about that law. How about the law about obstruction of justice where you can't fire someone investigating you? No. The laws don't apply to the king. You see, this is such a great country because we have a dictator like Donald Trump, and that's why people are coming here. Somebody just asked for the goddamn questions. All right, now we're going to hear from Kris Kobach. Now, Kris Kobach is not part of the federal government. He's a podunk secretary of state in a loser state like Kansas. I don't mean overall. I mean, it's because it's run by loser Republicans like Sam Brownback, who bankrupted the state and then ran away. Okay, Kobach is still there. So why the hell is this loser on national television? Because he's the one that helped craft this law, because he's one of the most anti-immigrant people in the country. You need someone to hate Latinos, you call Kris Kobach. So Kris Kobach is on TV now defending this law. Let's watch.
Angel Romero, he was brought here illegally when he was 2 years old. And I want you to listen to what he has to say here.
I basically got the message that my country doesn't want me here. It's trying to get rid of me, and it was very confusing.
If you could talk to somebody like him or to somebody like Jesus Contreras, who is a paramedic working in Houston, who is here under the DACA program, he's a dreamer. What is your message individually to him?
A couple of things. One is that he's gotten a great gift from the American taxpayer. He's gotten the best free public education in the Western Hemisphere. And, you know, he should be grateful because we, the taxpayers, have paid for that. And we're saying, look, if you want to be part of the American country, then do it legally. Go to the home country.
But
your parents who brought you in illegally could go with you.
They're also paying taxes when they're here as dreamers.
Right.
So they're not relying on the American taxpayer. They're relying on themselves as well, right?
Well, no, that's not correct. The vast majority do not pay enough in taxes to compensate for the benefits that they are receiving from the government. So they're net takers from the system.
God, man, they hate these folks. All right, let me give you the actual facts. Let's go to graphics 53A through 54. The New American Economy, a coalition of business leaders and mayors who support immigration reforms that will help create jobs for Americans today, or at least as they explain it, estimated the DACA eligible population earns almost $19.9 billion in total income annually, contributes more than $1.4 billion to federal taxes, more than $1.6 billion to state and local taxes, and represents almost $16.8 billion in spending power, which could all disappear overnight if DACA is ended and these people are actually deported. Here's one more fact for you guys. Reversing the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program could cost the economy $215 billion in lost GDP and cost the federal government $60 billion in lost revenue over 10 years. And that is according to the libertarian think tank, the Cato Institute. That is not necessarily in favor of immigration at all, certainly not undocumented immigrants. But that right-wing think tank says, well, I mean, if you're going to be honest, that is their contribution to the economy, and it is significant. That does not take into effect that a lot of these guys are very well educated. By definition, if they're part of DACA, if they're dreamers, they have to go to college or join the military. And if they're that well educated, what Cato Institute explains is that they're still relatively young, their earning power will only increase, the amount of taxes they pay going forward will only increase. And remember, if you're undocumented, a lot of times you pay in for the payroll tax, but never get Social Security or Medicare because you're not documented. So let alone the sales tax, they also pay the payroll tax, but Kris Kobach doesn't want you to know any of that. It's not that he's worried about the economy. If he was worried about the economy, he wouldn't have helped Sam Brownback destroy Kansas' economy. It's not about the economy, it's about hate, it's about race, it's about fear. That's what Kobach and Trump feed on. So let's do one more from Kobach here.
How does this consistent then, ending DACA with the president's promise to take care of dreamers, that these dreamers should rest easy? How does that square?
Well, I'm not sure what the president meant when he said rest easy, and who knows, but the point is,
let's agree on this.
Who cares? That's the only thing that's slightly honest that Kobach's ever said. The president's a liar anyway. Who cares what he said earlier? He was messing with you. You're an idiot for believing him. His name is Donald Trump. When's the last time he ever said anything that he meant? Who cares what he meant? We're against Latinos. Get it through your head. Here's a Republican congressman, Carlos Curbelo, who goes on right afterwards, and he nails what this is actually about.
Secretary Kelly, which is it? Are these dreamers subject to being deported, or should
Video 7, my bad.
A couple of minutes ago, I had the Secretary of State of Kansas on this show, Kris Kobach, who said that dreamers should go back to their home countries and, quote, get in line. I'd like your reaction to that.
It's regrettable that some fringe elements in our politics have a sick obsession with scapegoating immigrants for blaming them for all of our economic struggles in this country.
So that's a Republican congressman saying that, not a Democratic congressman, but it unfortunately is not a fringe element. It's the president of the United States of America. That's the sick element that has taken over the Republican Party. And don't pretend he's not one of you. You had 17 choices, and the Republican voters said, forget Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and all these other senators and former governors, all these establishment folks. No, I want that monster named Donald Trump. Now, final piece for you guys on how much of an effect this has. More than 97% of dreamers are in school or in the workforce. 5% started their own business, 65% have purchased a vehicle, and 16% have purchased their first home. At least 72% of the top 25 Fortune 500 companies count DACA recipients among their employees. They are taking some of the best of us and wanting to remove them from our country. And these folks didn't do anything wrong. We're putting the sins of the parents onto the sins of the children. The people who are supposed to know better are supposed to be good Christians who read in their Bible that you're not supposed to do that. Instead, of course, all over social media, there are right-wing evangelical pastors going around saying, congratulations, huzzah. And so why do they do that? Because they don't view Latinos as part of us. And of course, this doesn't affect just Latinos, but that's their worldview. And it doesn't matter if you're from a different country, you're a foreigner, we don't want you. What happened? I thought you were only going to go after the criminals. We were just lying. We were just lying. We don't like them. Our voters don't like them. We're going to target them and eliminate them. So, and by the way, one last thing for you guys. They have a new bill that Tom Cotton is introducing and that Donald Trump has supported. He supported it earlier this month. And what does it do? It not only goes after the Dreamers, it not only goes after undocumented immigrants, it also goes after legal immigrants. So when they said, oh, it's about the rule of law, they never meant it. You're just not in their definition of us. Us is what Steve Bannon calls culturally American. In other words, white people. And if you're not part of that, they're going to come after you no matter what. And they proved it again yet again today. Okay, so I got to just do two quick pieces more on this. All right. Now, during the campaign, Donald Trump had said that he would target undocumented immigrants. Nobody's surprised by that. He also said that he would, he was considering going after the Dreamers, the people that DACA protects. And he announced today that he would do that. But after he'd gotten into office, he had changed his tune because he's Donald Trump. He says everything, completely contradictory things, hypocritical things. He doesn't care. He's a classic sleazy politician. So at the time, after he got elected, he had said that the Dreamers should, quote, rest easy. He said, we're, quote, not after the Dreamers, we're after the criminals, that is our policy. Today they announced they are in fact after the Dreamers. He lied for the millionth time in a row. He said the Dreamers, quote, shouldn't be very worried. He said, where you have great people that are here that have done a good job, they should be far less worried. He said his administration was, quote, not after the Dreamers, we are after the criminals, adding, that is our policy. Once again, a total lie. Today announcing that the end of DACA, he will be going after the Dreamers. And having nothing to do with criminality, that's just not the case. And he says, yeah, okay, they're not criminals, don't care. 97% of them are in school or have a job, don't care. They've put in over $60 billion to the US economy, don't care. I don't care, they don't look like me. I lied to you, are you still surprised? No, we're gonna get rid of them because my whole campaign is based on fear and hatred. My base is in fact, a lot of them, not all of them, again, the only thing Hillary Clinton was right about, half of them are deplorable. They don't like people that don't look like them. And they, in fact, they're kind of bitter that those Dreamers are successful. They're bitter that they have jobs, that they went to college. And they look at them with great scorn and think, why not me? And they don't think, hey, maybe that's my failing. Maybe I should grab some bootstraps. They just look at the people who made it and go, they don't look like me. And they must have taken my job. They must have taken my wages. And they don't think, hey, maybe your wages have been kept down by the people in power, not by the powerless. Maybe your wages got kept down by people like Donald Trump, who didn't want to pay you more than $7.25 in minimum wage. Even though if it kept up with inflation, it'd be way higher now. It'd be at least $11. But they don't want to pay you those wages. And then they turn around and go, don't worry, I'm not the one keeping down your wages. As they suppress them, keep them down, and won't let them up, they go, oh, it must be the brown people. And then they turn around and say, oh, don't worry, guys, don't worry. I'm not going to go after the dreamers. Ha ha, just kidding. Deport them. He said, Donald Trump said, I do not favor punishing children, most of whom now are adults, for the actions of their parents, but we must also recognize that we are a nation of opportunity because we are a nation of laws. In other words, oh, golly gee, this is him speaking today. Did I break their backs? I didn't mean to break their backs. I'm just doing it because I have no choice. I must follow the rule of law, unless, of course, your name is Sheriff Joe Arpaio, in which case, you're free to break the law and I'll just pardon you later because you hate Latinos like I hate Latinos. And he said, I look forward to working with Republicans and Democrats in Congress to finally address all the issues in a manner that puts the hardworking citizens of our country first. By the way, what does he mean by that? Part of the reason that they're killing DACA and now beginning to gear up to kick out all the dreamers from the country is because he wants to pass a new law and he wants to get the Democrats to agree to build the goddamn wall. So he's saying, hey, look, I can kick him out any second because I just took away Obama's executive order. So if you don't want me to ruin their lives, I've got 800,000 hostages. So hurry up and build out wall, otherwise I throw the hostages out. And by the way, destroy the American economy in the meanwhile. You think he has any moral qualms? No, he doesn't. So this is his plan. He's a disgusting human being. All right, last thing for you guys on this. Javier Palomares is the CEO of the US Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And he was actually part of President Trump's Diversity Council. So he was trying to help Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump has been against Latinos all along. Now you're going to see why in a second. But apparently, killing DACA and ending the dream of the dreamers apparently was a bridge too far for Javier. So he was on television today and said this.
I officially resigned from that council effective immediately.
So you've already turned in your resignation letter to the Trump administration?
There is no letter. This is it. This is the resignation. I don't see the point in continuing to try to work with people that clearly don't see this issue the way I do. You know, I tried to work as hard as I could with this administration on this issue, and I continue to want to work with them on other issues like tax reform, like healthcare reform, and so many other important things, but I really don't see the logic in doing what we're doing right now.
Look, in some ways I want to join the parade in appreciating his actions. I like that he woke up and realized the dream was over. On the other hand, if you notice what he said, he's like, I still want to work with the administration on tax reform. In other words, look, I knew he was against us, but God, I wanted those tax cuts. I wanted them so bad, and I still do. I still do. And that's why I'm willing to work with this monster, but I, God damn it. Now that he's going after these dreamers, and by the way, not. I hope it affects Javier's conscience, but certainly everyone around him is probably asking him, you're still working with that guy? So now he gets to turn around and say, no, I'm quitting the council immediately. And look, I appreciate any action that's the right action, so I'll give him credit for that. But notice that the very next sentence was, but on the other hand, tax cuts. If you're going to have morality and dignity, try to stay on message for two sentences. Young Turks.